Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my very special guest today is Claudia Christian, known from my huge fandom of Babylon 5, Susan Ivanova. She's also been in Freaks and Geeks and a few other items, but did you also know she is a video gamer at heart? She's done voice acting in Skyrim, Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, and others. And she has brought her passion for gaming to a new book called Snack Hacks, 100 Fast and Delicious Recipes for Gamers, Coders, Freaks, and Geeks. And she just looks so joyful on the cover of this with a controller in her hand and snacks on her lap. Claudia, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. That's very funny because I must be honest here. I am passionate about providing the voices for games, and I am certainly passionate about cooking. But I'm not a gamer. My co-author is the gamer. I'm the chef and voiceover artist. So we both have our strong points. My co-writer Mark Michel is also an avid cook. But he's definitely the gamer. I'm a neophyte at gaming. I think anybody can tell you that. Mario Brothers was the last game I played. But hey, I star in a lot of games, so that gives me a little bit of gaming cred, right?
That gives you a lot of gaming cred in my book. So you both are cooks. You both are interested. You have a passion for cooking. And Mark, you said Mark is the gamer. How did you bring healthy eating and gaming together?
Well, I wouldn't say that 100% of the recipes are quote unquote healthy. They're easy, fast snacks. My recipes are healthy. I'm a very clean eater and I believe in moderation of, just about everything. So, I'm a little more, sensible in that regard, but I'm not saying that Mark's recipes are unhealthy. They're just not as healthy as mine. But he also, Mark has a disability. So that speaks to people who maybe can't do the things that I can do in the kitchen, which I think, it's a unique take on a cookbook. There's actually a myriad of unique takes on this cookbook. First of all, a voiceover artist who doesn't game, but is passionate about the gaming world, who has a cousin who's an esports star. And then you have a gentleman in Pennsylvania who was my pen pal, who is a massive gamer, games probably every day of his life, and knows everything about every single game, as my writing partner, with also the added bonus of cooking recipes that are disability friendly. So, I think that it's a really unique book. I had a wonderful time working with Mark on it. We traded ideas and recipes, obviously, and hacks. The kitchen hacks I think are really fun for especially people who are beginner cooks. But I don't want to falsely advertise this as a book just for beginners, because I'm a pretty advanced cook, so amateur chef. So I would say that some of the recipes are a little bit more complex, but there's nothing in there that you would feel overwhelmed looking at. There's nothing with tons of ingredients. I'm simply trying to encourage people to use their creativity and confidence in the kitchen, mostly just to understand your own palate, your own, your own taste and what you like, and then go from there and build slowly a repertoire of dishes that you can make quickly and easily without, resorting to the old takeout, because we do that a lot in this country, especially too much, too often.
So you would say the hack angle would be geared towards making adjustments in the kitchen, not only to suit you and with or without a disability, and fixing things quickly?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. For instance, I remember somebody said to me, I would love to cook more spinach more often, but it's such a pain in the butt, putting it in the steamer and getting the thing dirty in the pan. And I said, you just pop the bag of spinach open and throw it in the microwave for 2 minutes. And it's perfectly cooked spinach with none of the water, none of the this, then chop it up and put it in an omelet or whatever. And they went, oh, I never thought about that. So I thought, well, maybe I should start writing down these hacks that I take for granted that are sort of obvious to me, and save people some time, and also allow them to use, you know, healthier foods in a fast, fun way.
I will pile on with that, because I definitely started eating more vegetables once, I even forget the brand, it might be Bird's Eye or somebody, once they came out with the vegetables, the one serving size vegetables that you just put in the microwave and they steam inside the bag. I'm like, easy veg. Okay, I'm on board.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know, I understand and I appreciate that people are overworked and underpaid and they're tired and cranky, and feeding yourself sometimes is relegated to just feeding the machine. But I'm trying to make people also, I mean, I know that not everybody is going to feel as passionate about cooking as a meditation as I am. However, there is a respect for your body, and there's a little element of, you know, I'm going to take 10 minutes and prepare something with love for myself or with care. And that 10 minutes really, I mean, you can make an extraordinary meal in 10, 15 minutes. And I'm just trying to teach people that it's not that difficult. With a little bit of stocking up your pantry and, you know, putting a few key items in the refrigerator. And also, just like I said before, having the ability to improvise when you don't have a certain ingredient, knowing that if you don't have this particular fat, you can use this other kind of fat. And as far as, you know, a lot of people are asking, oh, is it diabetic friendly? Is it this friendly? Is it gluten-free friendly? I think that if you have a serious issue with either sugar or gluten products, then you know what to adapt recipes with. You know, there are certain guidelines of what you can replace it with. I, for instance, don't cook with refined sugar, so I use honey or maple syrup, and I've just learned along the way, you know, to what the measurements are. So that's pretty easy to find online. People can adapt any of these recipes for whatever issues they have. But there's a lot of them are just naturally good for diabetics and naturally gluten-free. So there's something for everybody in the book. And I certainly had a great time writing it. It was fun.
So how did you collect the 100 recipes that you wanted to include? Did you break them down by type of snack or what's like energy or for sugar, for salty? How did bringing these 100 recipes together evolve?
To be honest with you, Mark and I just cooked for months and months and months, and we just tried out our, you know, the recipes that we make ourselves. We had to actually test them for, because I don't measure anything in the kitchen. I never do. I'm an improviser. So I only measure if I bake, because that's science. You have to measure, but everything else. So I basically made a lot of my favorite recipes. You know, some that would be appropriate for the different seasons. But nothing was sort of like, oh, let's do 3 chicken recipes and 4 fish recipes. It wasn't like that at all. It was, we just threw stuff into the mix. You know, I had friends over and they said, oh, you got to put your fish sauce in there. Okay, fine. And then Mark would find a game that would correlate to the title. So if I had, for instance, I made ceviche one day and I thought, well, this is fun. And most people are overwhelmed by it and they think they need fresh fish, but you could use frozen and defrost it and, you know, marinate it in the citrus and all this jazz. And I thought, well, it's only a few ingredients. Let's make a ceviche. And I did the Atlantis games. So there you go. There's your tie-in. Atlantis, fish, ceviche, why not? So, you know, we had fun creating little tie-ins and things. And essentially, I just kind of cooked for, I don't know. I mean, we've been working on this for at least a year. So I think we just took pictures of everything and started cooking our favorites. He had some of his family's favorite recipes that he decided to do. And he got out his mom's old, you know, recipe cards. And I came up with some new things that were fun for me to try, but also, I just wanted to sort of lay down on paper some of my favorite dinner party meals or quick, you know, just quick things that you can come up with that are tasty and you know, and easy to make.
Now, you said that you have a cousin who's an esports gamer. Are any of these recipes actually game, like playing game tested?
Well, My cousin Weston is West Balls. That's what he's known as. And he is a very well-known esports gamer. And I dedicated the West Balls meatballs recipe to him.
Nice.
Which is a super simple recipe. But as far as, yes, some of these recipes you could eat with one hand, and some of these recipes you could certainly eat between games. Or if you can't get to the next level, then by all means, you know, put the controller down and go make a quick snack. So, or you can make them ahead of time and, you know, eat between games or whatever. So, and it is funny because Mark, has a very good friend, John, who always plays games with him in his apartment in Pennsylvania. And, Mark used John as a sort of guinea pig for a lot of these recipes. So John would come over to game with him, and then he would have, Mark would make lunch and photograph the recipe and see, you know, get immediate taste testing from feedback from John. And so that's how a lot of the recipes ended up in our book as well. Kind of fun.
Nice. Now for you, do you have any favorites or ones that you would recommend for someone who would be just getting into exploring cooking?
Well, that would really depend on the taste of the individual. I mean, if they want to learn a really easy fish hack, I have a great fish hack in there. I've got a one pan fish meal, and then I have just a way to never overcook fish. For somebody who would want to try maybe something a little more sophisticated, there's some chicken recipes in there that kind of fake it till you make it. You know, they seem like they took you time and energy, but they really don't. They're really simple. So there's a lot of choices. I think what makes it different is there's not only stories about my voiceover career, but just stories about learning how to cook. I learned as a teenager or even earlier, you know, how to cook. And I always learned from watching people. I recently was in British Columbia, and I was watching a dear friend of mine. And even now at my age, you know, I was watching her and I went, oh, wow, what a good idea. She was making some potatoes, the way she did it was just brilliant. And they cooked quicker and they were delicious. And I thought, wow, that's something to, you know, put in the old memory bank. And I learned how to make my absolute favorite vinaigrette from an Italian chef who happened to be working at a dinner party that I attended. And he was in the kitchen. Of course, I would go to the kitchen because that's where the fun is. And I just watched him make a vinaigrette, and I was probably 18, and it's so profoundly changed my life, because I thought, wow, I mean, I've literally never bought salad dressing again since then. And that's a heck of a long time. Because it was so easy, just watching him emulsify it with a whisk. And I just thought, well, that's silly. And why am I buying salad dressing? So, so just little things like that, being observant and of course enjoying it. And I know cooking is not everybody's cup of tea, but a lot of these recipes will feel like you're not even cooking. You're just sort of assembling. So it's good.
Well, that's good. I mean, you said you spent a year putting this together, and it's been out for about a week now. Have you gotten any praise, any thanks from gamers out there who are like, hey, this is a cool idea. I never thought about this, you know, this kind of snack.
Absolutely. I've had some amazing feedback and all 5-star reviews on Amazon. And it's available pretty much anywhere in the world right now. And I love the fact that there's some people with disabilities posting photos of some of the recipes that they've made and really, really describing how easy they are to make and what the level of competence needs to be and how it tastes. I mean, they're really going into detail. So that's lovely that people are already testing the recipes. It just came out last week. So that was really exciting to me. You know, and they take beautiful pictures too. I think, you know, a lot of the pictures that I took, unfortunately for Floating World Press, my publisher, you know, they kept getting a little peeved at me because I was taking pictures with my iPhone because it's easier, you know, and they're like, no, it's not high enough resolution. But the book is casual in that regard because Mark has fancy cameras and I used an iPhone, and then I hired a professional to do the cover of the book, you know, so it's really a mishmash of quality and quantity. But, you know, people should understand this book was completely made from love. I've always wanted to publish a cookbook, and a lot of my sci-fi fans throughout the years know about my cooking passion, and they've always said, please write a cookbook, please write a cookbook. So this is sort of my ode to a little bit of everything in my career and also my personal life.
Nice. Now, are you taking the book with you on any upcoming appearances?
Well, if they would bloody arrive, then I haven't received the two boxes of books that I ordered and paid for a few weeks back, which I was hoping to be able to bring them to Kansas. I'm going to Hutchinson to the Smallville convention this weekend, and the books have not arrived, but luckily I have flyers, so I can give people the flyers and they can order it on Amazon, which is probably easier. I'm also doing something for individuals if they really want their book autographed, but they can't, you know, see me at a convention or appearance, then I just simply tell them to send it to me in a, you know, in a precisely weighted self-addressed stamped envelope, so that I can, they send it to my PO box and then I just sign it and put it back in their envelope and send it back to them. So that's no skin off my back, and I'm happy to do it for people who purchase the book. And I'll do that for as long as the book is selling. You know, so that's a commitment I've made to my fans, to say I will sign it for free and send it back to you. But they have to include the self-addressed stamped envelope, because I'm not paying for postage, too.
I feel you there. But so
yeah.
If...
But media mail is inexpensive. So if they go to their post office and weigh it, it's media mail is the cheapest way to go.
There you go. So if a fan has a copy of it in their hot little hands, what upcoming appearances could they track you down at to get you to sign it?
Well, I'm afraid only the Smallville convention is the last one I have in the United States, and I haven't really booked anything overseas for the rest of the year. So that's it. But I don't even know if I'm going to have them at that convention, as I mentioned. So right now, you know, I have a website that's ClaudiaChristian.net, and on that website, all of my appearances or spontaneous appearances or conventions are listed. So if anybody's ever curious if I'm going to be in their neighborhood, but I don't really do a lot of conventions every year because I'm so focused on my nonprofit organization, the C3 Foundation. So I really, I'm sort of leaning more towards medical conventions, which nobody would want my gaming cookbook at a medical convention, I think. So those are the sort of appearances that I do more of nowadays.
Well, talk about that. What's your foundation focused on?
The C3 Foundation advocates a treatment for alcohol use disorder called the Sinclair Method, which I went on in 2009. And subsequently, I've written a book about it, Babylon Confidential. I made a documentary about TSM and the science behind it called One Little Pill. And I opened my nonprofit organization 6 years ago last week, the same day the book was released. My nonprofit turned six. So we reach millions of people in need. We help loved ones and the people suffering from AUD find the life-saving information that I found on my own back in the day. Naltrexone is used in the Sinclair Method in a targeted manner. So the individual who has an addiction to alcohol simply takes naltrexone, which is a generic medication, 1 hour prior to the first drink of the day. And then throughout the next few months, their drinking decreases. They have less compulsive behavior towards drinking. And about 40% of people go sober on TSM, and the rest of them regain control over drinking. So this is a massively successful treatment. It has a nearly 80% long-term success rate, if you compare that to traditional treatment, which has about a 5% success rate, if that. It really is staggering that this is not more well known, but I am the only really sort of vocal advocate of it in the world. And we are the only North American nonprofit organization devoted strictly to advocacy of the Sinclair Method. We do have a sister nonprofit based in England called C3 Europe, C3 Foundation Europe. So if anybody is overseas listening to this, they can get help there. Both of these nonprofit organizations are incredibly small and grassroots. The one in the USA is simply myself, and I coach people, and Jenny Williamson, my executive director, who does pretty much everything else. And we travel around the United States going to events like the American Society of Addiction Medicine conference, and we educate doctors so that they join our website as on our list of providers so that people can find the doctor that will support them doing TSM. Normally right now, doctors, because they don't know any better, and this is why I advocate, they normally prescribe naltrexone with abstinence. But throughout clinical trials and for the past 30 years, science has proven that that is not as effective as taking it 1 hour prior to drinking. So it's kind of counterintuitive, and it's difficult for people to understand that here's an alcoholic wanting to drink alcohol, but this treatment works. Now, in the past decade, since I've been doing this, it's gone from literally one doctor in the United States to almost the entire country being covered by doctors who understand it and utilize it in their practice. So it's a phenomenal growth rate. We are really reaching a tipping point, but we are so tiny. We're constantly fundraising and asking for donations and begging people for money or to go out and do a bake sale or something, because we desperately need to be the go-to place for people to get free information. We also have free peer support. We've got meetings weekly, monthly. There's Facebook pages. I mean, it's really taken off because it works. That's the thing. This works. You don't have to go to a meeting. You don't have to, you know, go away to rehab. You can do it at home. It's private. It's inexpensive. You know, the medication is generic. It's really, it's a phenomenally easy way to treat alcohol misuse. And it is my dream that it will become the go-to treatment for alcohol misuse.
And where's the website where people can find out more for themselves?
www.c3foundation.org. They can also Google Claudia Christian TED Talk, and you can see the 15-minute sort of synopsis of TSM and how it saved my life. And they can also watch One Little Pill on Amazon for free, or Tubi, Hulu, I believe it's on. There's a lot of resources now, but my nonprofit is where you can find a doctor and download your drink log and order a keychain and do everything you need to do to start TSM and privately. So that's c3foundation.org. And if you get Google Claudia Christian alcoholism, everything will come up. Awesome. Or Claudia Christian alcohol misuse, or AUD, or any of that stuff. You'll see my TEDx talk and my nonprofit foundation, my film, my book, everything come up. I'm sort of the face of the Sinclair Method. So I think it's quite easy for people to find me. And if they send an email to the nonprofit, it comes directly to my inbox. So as I said, we're very small. We're very small.
Cool. We will include links to that and also to Snack Hacks from Floating World Press, the 100 fast and delicious recipes for gamers and other people who are just impatient and just want something quick to eat. Claudia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show again.
And again, we will have links to the book, Snack Hacks. Check it out. I really want the recipe for the chocolate chip cookies I see on the cover there. And
they're in there.
They look so inviting right now. Anyway, thank you again.
Fairy godmother cookies.
Awesome. Awesome. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care. I told that devil
to take you back. Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
2 million tons of spinning metal, all alone in the night. A world where empires rise and fall, where dreams are born and die, where war and hatred are challenged by love and faith. In the third age of mankind, an age plagued by an evil empire that seeks to destroy humanity, it is our last, best hope for peace, for victory, for freedom. It is Babylon 5.
Do I have to put an explicit tag on this show now?
Thank you. You guys are easy. I'm telling you what.
We know him so well, and yet we did not see that coming.
What the hell show is this?
It's the Babylon Podcast.
Hi, I'm Aaron Ashmore from Sci-Fi's Killjoys, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Yes, I added the old, one of the old Babylon podcast promos in there because I could, because I recently dug them up for a fan who had asked for them, because when I redid the Babylon podcast website to be mobile responsive, I forgot to put that page back in the menu. So since I was out fiddling with the promo, sending it to that person, I decided, hey, this interview is about Claudia Christian. Why not? I wish back then we had made promos from all of the TV ads, but source material. If you didn't recognize it, didn't remember it, when Babylon 5 started airing reruns on TNT, there were two long promos. One set, actually, I think there were three. One set was the voiceovers were done by Keith David, and the other ones were done by Andreas Katsoulis as Jakar. And I think you can find those on YouTube now. 10 years ago, you couldn't. But enjoy. Maybe I'll go look them up just to be sure that they are out there. Anyway, the Snack Hacks book for gamers is available by Amazon. If anyone... I guess it's not a spoiler. We are going to have a copy of that to give away. And if you win it, you will get instructions on how to send it to Claudia to get her to sign it if you want it signed by her. Or you can just hang on to it till sometime next year when she's at a convention or gathering near you. Yeah, this went out too late to catch her at the Smallville convention this weekend, unfortunately. But she didn't have the books with her anyway, so... And to answer, I guess, to clarify on some earlier questions, yes, the Babylon podcast is going to remain available. It's available in iTunes, it's available in Google Play, it's available on, I think, Stitcher and Player FM. That's going to stay online. A Different Point of View is going to stay online. Dragon Page is going to stay online, although I'm going to be modifying that. It's no longer going to be the most recent, like the last 25 episodes chronologically that were put out. It's going to turn into a highlights feed, and I haven't decided yet whether that will be 25 interviews or 50. That's still something I'm mulling over. So that'll stay up. The only things shutting down, Pop Culture Geeks is shutting down. So if you were a contributor that has a review over on popculturegeeks.com, go print it out now to save it for your clips, because I think by August 15th or so, that will be going away. Anything that was done that's action, that's science fiction, that's horror, has already been moved over to Slice of Sci-Fi, so you don't have to worry about those. Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas will be shutting down come August. So if you want to grab your favorite episodes of that, now would be the best time. Because that website and that podcast will be going away. I think I've already removed ninjas from iTunes. So, and Winging It, all of the Winging Its will be offline. So if you want to grab Dragon Page Winging It, which is the last one that's still up there, now's your chance. If you want to grab some of the old Where's Winging It snapshots that show people taking pictures of their iPods with the Winging It art, the Winging It album art, from different places all over the world. Now's your chance to go to the gallery and grab those pictures while you still can. All, like I said, all of that will be going away sometime mid-August. And that actually will do it for the cleanups for now. Pop Culture Geeks, Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas, Winging It Archives will all be gone. Babylon Podcast sticking around. Charlie Jade sticking around. A Different Point of View sticking around. Because those are too funny to not keep online. And they're short. Other contests, other giveaways, besides a copy of Snack Hacks coming up. You should see a season one Blu-ray for Krypton. I've been waiting to see if any Deadly Class news comes about before setting up a contest for the Deadly Class backpack. We'll hold on for that for a while. But the previous giveaway, the listener secret handshake giveaway that you could only find out about and enter through listening to the show, that has closed down as of this weekend. All of the winners have been notified. If you entered that giveaway and selected a prize, check your email. I need your mailing address to send your swag to you. Most of the people have responded. There's a couple of stragglers left out there. Get in touch and get your prize. We'll be running another prize similar, another contest similar to that with a handful of prizes you can select from, probably closer to the end of July. Because, like I said, I'll be on the road in July. I'll be mobile. No, I'm not on the run. It's just life is interesting and I got to get out of here for a while. So if you have any questions about previous contests or other podcasts to listen to, you can call the number 602-635-6976 and leave a voicemail message for me. And if you don't want me to play it on the podcast, let me know ahead of time. Let me know in the message. That way I'll just mention it instead of just playing it. Or you can send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Ask your questions. Submit your comments that way as well. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, or rather Apple Podcasts, through Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn, and Player FM. And if you're leaving reviews, or if you can, please leave a review through Apple Podcasts or through Stitcher. Those reviews help other people find the show and tune in. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. Yes, I will converse with you about many things geeky in relation to TV, movies, comics. If you want to talk book stuff, the Twitter handle to do that for is Right After Dark, which is the Writers After Dark Twitter handle. You can find us also, chat in the comments on the YouTube channel, the various reviews that Noah and Darren provide. Yes, I am still working on the videos from AwesomeCon. I am much slower at editing video than I am at editing audio, but that's just a matter of practice and opportunity, right? Right. And of course, you can come to the website, sliceofsci-fi.com, where you can weigh in with your own opinions on the reviews we have or on the interviews we've had. Come on over, join in, have fun. That's what we are here for. I'd like to thank everyone who is supporting the show, helping defer the cost of bringing this fine geeky entertainment to you. People who are currently pledging to support the show are doing so through Patreon, patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And we have a handful of people who are doing the occasional PayPal donations. Thank you all for supporting. Your contributions, your donations, your support, primarily your support in listening to the show and helping promote the show, is greatly appreciated. Also want to throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci Fried, for providing the theme music for the show. You can find more of their music on their website, sci-fried.com. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.